Welcome to this week's edition of the Fantasy Show of the Flex Fox Fantasy Federation Baseball Stuff and Things. I am still your host, Garth Newton, coming to you live from my wonderful attic in downtown beautiful New Hamburg. And with me, as always, is our lawyer, Jeremiah Johnson. How's it going?
It's good. It's good. We're alive. We're here. We're half conscious. The iPad is at like 12%. So kind of like my internal emotional battery.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. We didn't get a podcast out last week because that was day one for your new job. And you correctly assumed that you would just be wasted on your feet due to fatigue, not necessarily the newfound scotch addiction that becoming a lawyer has granted you. And I had technical difficulties, which after the day that I had had also rhymed with a big ol' fuck this. I'm going to go have some of my own scotch. And so that didn't come together last week. But you are now roughly, what, 7 days in to being a lawyer. I'm curious, is there any insight that you can offer to our loyal listeners on why they should or should not follow in your esteemed path?
Yeah, I mean, Cam's another good person to talk to as another lawyer, right? I think he does business or corporate. I could be wrong in that. I don't want to speak for him. As somebody who does family law, though, I mean, you have to have a good ear for people. You have to listen to a lot of things. You're almost a therapist and a legal advisor. I wouldn't do it. I mean, I tell people this. I've told other people, you know, students, whatever. I wouldn't do it. You know, if someone told me what I know now, I wouldn't have done it.
Okay.
The cost is very high financially, unless you're, you know, wealthy, which some people are.
Sure.
So you're talking six-figure debt for sure.
Okay.
You're talking like more than a down payment on a house in some cases. Yeah. I mean, and then you don't just get rich right away. Like people think, oh yeah, this guy charges $300 an hour. He's rolling in it. Well, you know, you split that with your firm. There's overhead costs. You know, disbursements, there's tons of stuff. So you walk away with much, much less than that at the end of the day. But people don't treat you like that, right? So,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I believe it's fairly common knowledge in the league. I have my own experience dealing with family law on account of I've been divorced in the past.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's not something I would recommend either. Avoid being married and stay out of family law from that side of it too. That would be my, I think that's my go-to on this one as well.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't get married, that solves a lot of your problems. If you get what people commonly refer to as a prenuptial agreement, but it's called a marriage contract.
Sure.
For the legal professionals, that is also helpful.
Okay.
I mean, I would say, you know, you're probably steering down the right path if you avoid marriage, but that doesn't eliminate all issues, unfortunately.
Right. But it also is the clearest path to make sure that you just avoid any run-ins with Jeremiah, which also feels like a good sort of life decision for most people.
You know what? There'll be a league discount for anybody who needs family services if they want to come to me. How's that?
There you go, everyone. You heard it here first. $5 per hour discount offered by one Jeremiah the Lawyer Johnson.
Might have to be more than that if I want you guys to retain, so we'll figure something out.
I also like the idea that you'd be canvassing this league just knowing in your heart of hearts that, look, this is a league that's going to need family law help. The people in this league are going to need someone sometime in the future.
There's 20 people in this league. There's no way one of them does not have a family law matter in the next 5 to 10 years. There's no way.
All right.
No way.
See, now there's the hot take that this podcast needed. This is why we're back. We took 2 weeks to come up with that hot take, and there it is. We're here, everybody.
Here's an idea, right? So, I mean, I've been wanting to do a bunch of articles. I don't really have a lot of time anymore.
Uh-huh.
But in keeping with this latest article theme, like, what if there was like a league list of like every team is a fantasy law issue. That would be pretty good, right? Like someone's divorced, somebody's like
Yeah.
abducting children, like, you know, like, come on. This could be really
You'd
good.
need to come up with 20
I can do
discrete
it.
issues.
Oh, I can do it.
And
Yeah.
honestly, this sounds like some pretty brilliant off-season material, to be honest.
Yeah. You totally could do it.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to hold you to it because you'll sue me if I did, but I think this is a great idea.
Relax, I don't sue people.
You don't sue people. Well, then we might as well
No.
jump in and start talking about what actually happened in the fantasy pool last week, because we're going to start with you. And my question
That's
is, are
true.
you going to sue Ryan for the 277.6 to 223.5 beatdown he put on you this past week? Is that a family law offense? Do you need to tell us on the doll where that hurt?
It might be battery. I don't know.
Okay.
It's
Okay.
salt, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it just sucks because Ryan's had some pretty bad weeks, right? And
Yeah.
then, like, you know, sub 200. And I'm like, maybe 224. If you told me last week that's what I put down, I like, maybe that's good, right? But, like, no chance. Ryan's being Ryan. I never got a foothold in this matchup. I was always behind. Always felt like Ryan was just way too easily throwing down points. So yeah, my team's been a disappointment. Ryan, this is a good bounce back because I know we weren't here last week, but up like I think barely 200 points.
Yeah.
That's a red flag, man. That's a pretty big red flag. So he needed this, and I joked in Slack like someone check on him because if he doesn't win this matchup, it's a problem. And I still believe that. Like he's restored a bit of my faith in him. But man, I don't know about you. I he's definitely beatable. That's what I've been taking away from his recent performances.
Yeah, and there's been some injury bad luck. There's been some performance bad luck. I mean, is Carlos Rodon hurt or does he just suck that hard now? But I mean, it's been a couple of pretty hard weeks for Ryan, and in particular, like it was. And I've got the numbers in front of me, so I'll put them out there. But week 15, 227.6. Week 16, 216.4. The interesting part about this is that those numbers are only about 30 points higher from the 193 of his second loss back against the Squirtle Squad in week 9. And so this was a very human looking week, and it happens to all of us. I mean, we'll talk about my matchup in time, but 277, that's more what is expected. I updated the numbers that I'd pulled a couple of weeks ago around sort of what everyone, based on their final like total numbers, just what is the average week to week. And Ryan is still at the head of the pack at 267.7. So this 277 is sort of in that range. But as a direct result of these last 2 weeks, he has given up a lot. You'll recall that he had a 50-point gap. That's down to 27. He's only got a 27 per match point gap right now between himself and RKR, and only a 36 point above myself as the third place scoring team. So yeah, very human, very beatable these last couple weeks. And I mean, 223 obviously would have done it each of those weeks. So bully for you, I suppose.
Well, so there's 2 points I want to make with those stats because those are helpful stats. Those 3 weeks could easily be Ryan's playoffs, right? And this is what's happened to him in the past, at least traditionally. He will do exactly what you just said, right? Like a 216, a 223, and then this really good week. And he'll whine and he'll groan and be like, well, like I would have beat everyone else like every other week. But like that is like his historic path. We've seen it multiple times. We saw it last year, right? So like if that's how it's going to go down, and who's to say it won't at this point? None of us have a crystal ball. That is a very beatable team. But the other point I want to make, and we're not talking about him right now, but last week when we were away, I faced RKR.
Yeah.
And he put a beat down on me too, unfortunately. I think it was almost 300 points. Like it was similar to the score. And let me tell you, after seeing both of those teams up close, they're very similar to me. Like very, very similar to me in terms of their scoring potential, the depth of their team, the strength of the offense, the strength of the pitching. Like I honestly think RKR is criminally underrated. And if RKR and Ryan fought in a matchup, man, 50-50 to me, honestly, on who wins.
Okay. Well, I mean, RKR is currently still sitting 15th fifth. Mad King, mm-hmm. obviously, in first. You slide to 13th with this, so still firmly in Europa. Not flirting with the top of Europa anymore. And I believe at this point, yes, officially you have a 0% chance of hitting the the top eight. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
But the end result of this matchup for me is it's basically chalk. This is about what everyone expected. So it's not surprising in that respect. But before we get to RKR, because I do want to get to him, I want to slide over. We're going to talk about my matchup next. My matchup's going to be real quick. I had a down week. I beat a bad team. Yay me. 222.4 to 179.7 over Kaminsky and the Illuminati. 222 is one of my worst totals all year, actually. But, you know, is what it is. But it was nice that I could have a stinker of a week and not have it come back to bite me, right? It seems like everybody else has had one or two of those. It was nice that I got one too. But yeah, this was my own down week and unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, I'm worried about your top two scorers in this matchup. Josh Young looks like he's done for the fantasy year anyway, with that broken, I guess it's like a thumb or a hand or something.
Yep.
Tyler Glasnow, I saw he went and saw like a specialist. He has like a back problem, but it looks like he's going to start this weekend. Yep. It's more just that with Glasnow, as somebody who's owned him, someone who's watched him, he's just so fragile, right? Like, you just don't really know how long he's going to be on the field. And when he is on the field, as you've pointed out to me in private Slack messages, he is elite. No questions asked. He is a top 25 starting pitcher, and I don't think there's any dispute in that. It's just, will he be on the field for your team when you need it? And really, if you're going to get an injury, I think you'd prefer it happen right now, where he gets it out of the way, he recovers, he comes back, and he's ready for playoffs. I think that would be an ideal scenario for you. So obviously you don't control that, but something definitely to be concerned about. I mean, you got to beat the bad teams. Mike is, I still believe he's DFL, so.
Not anymore. There's worse than him now, incredibly.
Wow. Okay. Well, the former title holder of DFL, the long reigning king of DFL. You know what? You got to win those matchups. In the playoffs, no one's going to ask how much you won by, just that you won. So, you know, get it out of the way, move forward. I still think you're an elite team. I still think you're in the top four in my brain. And if you get these out of the way now, hopefully they don't plague you later.
Yeah, Josh Young is out 4 to 6 weeks. He's going under the knife to have surgery on the broken bone in his hand. So there's a solid chance that he doesn't even come back in time for the finals, realistically, which is unfortunate. But the only sort of, you know, turning that frown upside down that I can offer there is I have Max Muncy on this team. Max Muncy plays third base. So I have a little bit of flexibility in that regard. Like, there were places where had I had like an important guy go down, I don't have an instant backup, right? Like that would hurt more. Losing Josh Young hurts, I'm not going to lie, but at the very least I've got Muncy there to back him up right away. And so the roster flexibility that gives me is like, okay, now just go find a good DH effectively. So,
well,
that's nice.
This is just a point generally for anyone in the league. And as someone whose team has no pitching is impossible to replace right now. If you lose a pitcher, you are basically screwed. There is nothing on the wire. Trust me. I look all the time, with half my damn rotation hurt all the time. I'm always looking for a filler. DH's bats, less of an issue, right? I mean, I think of like Jorge Mateo that's on the wire. I think of Ty France. Like, there is lots of filler viable options that you can plug and play. You can always play the hot hand at any of those positions. So I wouldn't be too worried about filling a bat spot, but a pitching spot, that would be a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So
completely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Kaminsky, still, again, not DFL. He's worked his way out of DFL, has for the last couple of weeks, but still firmly in the vase. And honestly, this was a performance that made me feel that maybe he could take the Vays home this year.
Yeah, I don't want to go that far. It's a bit of a stretch.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. Not on board with that. I'm just not.
Fair enough. So Kaminsky, you're gonna have to show Jeremiah, make him believe, because right now he's not a believer. But let's go ahead and move on to our third matchup of the week, where we're going to talk about our friend, the fourth quarter Jimmy Butlers, who was in a surprisingly close matchup all week against a surprising output by the 12th place flex team. So specifically, Tilla puts up a 286.5 and takes down Flex's 274.3. Tilla still sitting third overall, Flex sitting 12th. What was more surprising, Tilla holding down this win or Flex actually putting up almost 275 points?
Definitely Flex. Flex is a problem. I mean, I don't deny that. I think he's probably too far away from playoffs to be any kind of threat there. But man, Europa, like, might be the favorite, right? Like, at least for this past couple weeks, his performances, I think he put up 300 the week before this. Correct me if I'm wrong. But he has been really good. His team is really good. He's got high-end talent at a lot of places. His team's been performing, and I mean, who's gonna put up 274 points in Europa in a given week? Too many teams, right? I mean, here and there, sure. I mean, Ben, we're gonna talk about him, but that's like Ben's top performance all year. So I don't know about you, but I'm like kind of on the Flex bandwagon. He jokes about winning, he jokes about, you know, coming and doing whatever, and I love the banter, that's fine, but he's backing it up, and you know what, I would not be surprised if he won Europa, not at all.
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly in a position to it, and he's currently riding the hot hand. I think that much is obvious. As far as like his overall point totals on the season, it's overall fairly pedestrian, and it's an unfair element, because the things that he's been doing in these last couple of weeks are not reflective of the bad starts that he had before. Like, his last 3 weeks are 282, 232, 274. Those are fine scores for Europa. And anytime you're beating 260, 270, you're probably winning those Europa matchups as well.
Well, actually, those 3 point totals you just laid down were better than Ryan Neeson's, actually, over a 3 week period, the same 3 week period.
You are correct.
So, and I'm not a math guy. That's just like an eye test thing. But I mean, to me, he is definitely a great place. He had really bad starts to begin the year, like criminally bad, like Vase level bad. So I think that's probably tanking his point totals, because I know he put up some low 100s at the beginning of the year. And so I think he's probably closer to this than that. And again, like, who cares how you start? It's how you finish, right? So if this is how he's going to keep going, how do you bet against him?
I mean, not easily. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And as far as that's concerned, like I said, he's now currently sitting 12th. He has a game in hand over you specifically. So he's 7-9, which puts him in a three-way tie with Chris and Graham, who we'll cover a little bit later. So he is right there firmly at or about the top of the Europa pool. He could come in as the number two seed, in fact, which, I don't know, after the start that he had this year, I also think that would be a bit of a surprise.
I'll be honest, like, it's probably too honest, but I don't really want to face him in Europa.
Oh, like, well, now it has to happen.
If I can avoid it, I would like to. you know, if he can face, like, Chow or something, like, please, by all means.
Yeah, well, on the flip side of this matchup, I feel kind of similar about Tilo. Tilo puts up a 286.5, which is a great point total. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. He's sitting third. I believe it actually he is alone in third. Yes, he is the only 12-win team in the pool right now, as the top four have sort of spread out a bit. The bottom four are tight, but that's fine. This was a good week. He continues to put up good weeks. He is a good matchup every week. We talk about the heater that RKR is on, and RKR is probably going to have to take out one or more of Ryan, Newton, or Tilo. And I mean, I know I'm in that list and I don't want to face RKR, but I'm not really looking forward to facing Tilo either.
I wouldn't want to face either. I think in my head, my top four would be in this particular order: Ryan, Tilo, RKR yourself. I do think RKR and Tiller are basically 2A and 2B. Like I don't really see a difference. And the thing with those teams, and I want to point this out, versus like say yourself and Ryan, is that I see less variance in their scores. I see less spike up and down and more just like high 250s, 260s, 270s, and less of this like 200, 300, 222, 312 kind of deal.
Yeah, and we'll see. I mean, we say that, and you know, Tilo won a matchup a couple weeks ago, 182 to 155.
True.
So,
Yeah, true, true.
and last week it was only 223. Like, we're doing this 3 week review. He's 182, 223, 286. There's a fair
Okay.
amount of variance in it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. RKR then is more applicable to that, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you're all in that tier, right? Like you're all in that elite, elite tier, and it's interesting. It's very interesting.
Yeah. So he stands alone at 12-4-0, and we're going to advance now to the next team that is also standing alone, this time at 11-5. But the story could not be more different if we tried, because our fourth place team is the 11-5 Midland Raccoons, who lose to the sixth place Squirtle Squad with a 249.6 over the Raccoons 171.6. This is another very poor showing by the Raccoons at a time of year where you don't want to be showing this level of vulnerability.
Man, I'm going to call it right now. I think they're going to lose the majority of the remaining matchups. They're going to go to like seven or eight, and they're just going to get their fucking doors blown off by like Ryan or Tilo in round one. There's no other way this is going down. They're a classic, like, what's the term? Lame duck president. Like, they had a great start to the year, but they got nothing left, man. Like, those guys that were elite at the beginning of the year were just smoke and mirrors. I'm thinking Marcus Stroman. I'm thinking, like, to a larger extent, Sonny Gray. Like these guys, Clayton Kershaw has been hurt, and he was great at the beginning of the year. Like these guys either can't hold up to the rigors of the season, or they were playing over their heads. And this is what it looks like. This is what the true talent of their team looks like. And that's just my opinion, right? And it's too late to make any more moves. So, yeah, it's hard to pick them to be anything other than playoff fodder in the first round. It's hard to pick them to be anything other than like sixth, seventh, or eighth, frankly.
I mean, their record has them in fourth, as the only 11-win team with five through eight, all at 10 wins. So they are very vulnerable in that respect. Their last three matchups, however, are probably the easiest in the pool, overall. They've got, well, I mean, right now they're facing Jamil. They
Okay.
face Tilo next week, so that's not a pushover by any
That's an
stretch.
L.
Their last matchup is against Ash and the Moneyballers. Or DFL, in case you're
Well,
curious.
tell me this though. When's the last time they topped 225 points?
The last time they topped 225 was in week 12, a
Okay.
matchup that they beat Chow for, which actually is very important right now, given what Chow has been doing.
And what did they put up that week in week 12, you say?
236.
So barely above that, and that was 6 weeks ago.
Since then, 139, 158, 73. I did not say one, just 73, and 171 this past week. It's been grim.
So I'm not willing, based off those point totals, which by the way are a quarter of the season's worth of sample size, to give them a W over any of those teams you just mentioned. Any of them. I don't care if it's Ash. Ash can put up 140. Like, who are you taking? Like, come on, man. Like, Tilo, let's just call that an L.
Sure.
Ash, we can call that a W if you want to be optimistic, but I'm not handing it to them. And I'm missing the first team out of that
Jamil right
three.
now.
I mean, frick, man. That guy's put up 200 points before.
Okay.
If he beat them, I would not be shocked. Like, they could easily go 1-2 here. If they go 1-2, they're 12-8. No, 12-7.
12-7. Yep.
That could easily be sixth or seventh place. Like,
Oh,
no
yeah,
problem if the teams
for sure.
behind them go 2-1 or 3-0. So, yeah, I see it that way. That's how I see it. Yeah.
Yeah, had this slide started even a week earlier, they are probably a bubble team. And
Yeah.
you would probably have them right now firmly as the top of Europa.
Yeah.
and worried about them there too. But
to play them.
Right. On the other side of this matchup, however, we actually get a very strong showing by the Squirtle Squad. You know, just shy of 250 points, so a fine showing. They are now the top. Oh, sorry, my apologies. They are the second of the 10-6 teams. They're technically behind RKR based on points overall. But the Squirtle Squad have really been coming on themselves of late. As we do our 3 week review, 267, 297, 249. Those are solid numbers. It's been a little while since they've had a bad showing, and if it wasn't for Flex, kind of filling them in a couple of weeks ago, they would be in the fourth spot overall right now.
Yeah, watch out. Like, these guys always do this, don't they? Like, they always start off, they're kind of like ho hum, whatever, and then by the end of the year, they're always in, like, fifth. And you don't want to face them in the playoffs because they're hot as hell. And yep. I don't know about you, but I'd be, like, praying the Raccoons go to, like, seventh or sixth and I draw them. Because alternatively, you're looking at something like this. And if you were to face the squad in the first round of the playoffs, I don't see how you can be super confident in a W.
Yeah. Hard to argue.
You know? So... they're good. They're good. They do their research. They know what guys to acquire. Munoz is closing now. Mm-hmm. Harper has been a revelation at first base. Hell, even Kenta Maeda, somebody they got for basically nothing, is putting up points. So, like, they know what they're doing. They know how to manage a matchup. You don't want to face them. You really do not.
Well, luckily, I don't have to. They do have a very soft schedule ahead of them. They've got Nick the Man this week, Jamil next week, and then they finish it off with what could actually be a very interesting playoff preview with a Week 20 matchup against Tillo.
Ooh, that is spicy.
There's a non-zero chance that we see Tillo and Squirtle Squad in back-to-back matchups, in fact.
Imagine you won the first one in the regular season, but get smoked in the second one. I'd be so mad.
It could happen.
Yeah, I know.
Definitely happen. And it's setting up to, that is a definite possibility, in fact. So, as mentioned, the Squirtle Squad right now are the sixth place team overall. I cannot speak today, my friend. They are the sixth place team overall. However, our fifth place team, who we've mentioned a couple of times tonight, is the RKR Bash Brothers, who put up another convincing win, 286.1 to 240.9 over the big beefy baseball boys, Graham's 11th place team. So this puts RKR into now the top of the 10-6 teams, and that's all four of our eighth place teams. And I'm going to go ahead and call this group the bubble group. One of these would have to fall for Chow to get in, but all of them could just stay in there. So they're right there on that bubble. And RKR right now is the top of that group based entirely upon having the second most points overall in the league. And it's in large part due to just this ridiculous heater that he's been on.
Well, I just want to take... I guess I shouldn't take the victory lap, but I'll take it on behalf of RKR here. And that is for Cody Bellinger, right? So I gave him Cody Bellinger in a deal. And I got an LM1 back, which is probably, unfortunately, at this point, not going to be that good. But Cody Bellinger has been almost MVP level this season. Everyone had written him off. I received him from Ryan, I think, who got him from Ash, from everybody who's passing this guy around like a joint or something, because nobody wanted him. I admit, he was fucking shit for me last year, and I was kind of frustrated with him and obviously moved on. But I give mad props to RKR for making these kind of pickups. I think of JP France, another guy he added off waivers, I believe. RKR has made some great, savvy moves, and I think it goes under the radar, the kind of manager that he actually is. Getting Bellinger for peanuts, getting France for free, Lars Nootbaar. Guys like that, it's like he can evaluate talent, he knows what he's doing. I really like his team. Like, I really, really like his team. I think I've been on him all year. As like his prime advocate, I think. So yeah, I mean,
yeah,
super, super on board with him. Not just because he's on this heater, but because I think he's capable of beating anybody in the playoffs.
Well, I mean, his last three matchups have been 374, 287, and 286. So, yeah, that's capable of beating absolutely anybody. And he just missed having the top overall points total this week by, I think it's less than half a point behind Tillo overall. So, again, right there neck and neck on the can beat anyone and basically did.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about somebody that's scary. I mean, all the playoff teams are scary, but he is very, very scary.
Yep. Well, he's basically what we keep talking about sort of year over year, right? Like, who is that one team that is sort of coming in from the bottom half of the playoffs or possibly outside of it going into the home stretch that is just capable of putting together a ridiculous run? Right now, this looks like RKR. Chow has a chance at that title, although I think he's got some injuries to deal with as well. So very impressed by RKR, absolutely. Very much don't want to see him in the finals. Well, I'd love to face him in the finals. Don't get me wrong, because that means I'm in the finals. But I don't want to have to face him in the playoffs. I would far rather have somebody else waste all their bullets taking him out and, you know, leaving a nice softened matchup for me against them afterwards. But that might be too much to ask. On the other side of this equation, however, we do have Graham, who falls to 7-9, sitting 11th overall, which puts him at the sort of top of Europa, just based on record alone, in a three-way tie with Chris and himself, just ahead of you. So whereas I'm afraid of RKR up in the top eight, what are your feelings on Graham as a potential, possibly even first-round matchup for yourself in Europa?
I'm not as afraid of him as Flex, but I'm more afraid of him than Chris.
Okay.
I suppose is how I feel. Graham has had a lot of very pedestrian point totals in my recollection. Many below 200. I don't know what his last 3 weeks are. This is one of his better totals. I know that. And he's definitely capable of it. There's no doubt. But I just don't see the consistency and the heater that I've seen Flex be on.
Right.
And granted, he's not Chris level bad in terms of like overall putting up a lot of low 200 or 100 point totals. But I don't know, like there's nothing about Graham's team that's like, I can't overcome this, you know? Like,
it's fair.
It's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
Last 3 weeks, it's been a little up and down, but a 226.3, a 179.1, and a 240.9. So, okay. You know, good, not great totals. It's about what I'd expect from a Europa team if I'm being brutal.
No, you're being honest. And like, I think I would fall into a similar category. I mean, it's just kind of like my team too. It's like, yeah, it could be good. Could have a good week. Could not. Who the fuck knows? Who knows? So yeah, that's you know what? It's how the cookie's going to crumble, right? So that's kind of a lot of what Europa is at the early stages is kind of, like how are these mid teams going to go? Because they all have flaws, right? They all have problems. That's why they're in Europa. But Europa needs to be built up to the prestigious competition that it is. Because, you know, you said I have a 0% chance of making the playoffs. Well, that tells me that I have a 100% chance of a top 12 pick.
That's fair.
So let's pump Europa's tires a little bit, right? Like, fuck the Vays, it's shit. But let's pump the Europa a little bit, right? So, yeah, I mean, Graham, Flex, definite contenders. Chow in that group too.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, let's keep going through the rest of the bubble teams here because we got a couple more that we need to focus on. So the next one we're going to go, which is going to talk about a Europa contender and a bubble team for the playoffs, as we see the number 7 seed director of the BPA, with Aiden. Taking a victory 226.0 to 166.9 over Chris's Mummy's Good Boys. This puts Chris in 10th, Aiden in 7th overall. Which one do you think has the better path in the playoffs coming up?
Oh, that's a tough one. I mean, these kind of matchups cheese me because teams like Flex, teams like Jameel, teams like Graham, like they deserve to win and they don't, and then this kind of shit happens. It's just like, okay, Aiden's path to the playoffs is not a good one. He's currently 7th. I think it's probably where he's going to end up. I think he's drawing Tillo or Ryan in round one, depending on how it shakes out. That is not a good path to be on. Conversely, Chris could also lose some more matchups, kind of fall into a middle ground face like myself, which could be a winnable matchup for him, but I doubt it. I think I'll go with Chris, but neither of them have a very good path. Like, Chris is probably going to finish. He's currently 10th, so if he falls a spot or two, he could be 11th or 12th. That's going to be hard to go deep in, but he probably has a better first-round matchup than Aiden does.
Sure. I think he might also have the softer schedule. He actually faces Lim, then Kaminsky, and finishing up against Chow. Now, obviously, Chow is in must-win mode and has been throughout, but... You know, you're kind of looking at a bottom of Europa and a top of Vase type team in Lim and Kaminsky specifically. So those are two kind of winnable matchups. So Chris might actually find himself in the top half of Europa just due to the softer schedule to finish out the year.
Yeah, absolutely. He might. Again, what he does with that, I'm not really sure. Yeah. What Aiden does with his playoff seed, I'm not really sure. I don't really think Aiden is the kind of team that I'm going to pick to win any round matchup that he's in. He's not going to be a favorite for me. I wouldn't put him as my favorite against anyone in the playoffs, pretty much. Which is not a good sign. Sure. Yeah, fine. I mean, even if it's you, even if he's taken on you, which is not a knock on you, but you're fourth, I would still take you. So, name the six teams ahead of him. I know off the top of my head are Ryan, Tillo, yourself, RKR. God, I'm missing somebody. The Raccoons, I think, are in there. Raccoons. If he gets the Raccoons somehow, then I'll take him.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. Well, the one thing that might give Aiden a bit of a chance is that Giancarlo Stanton is both back and seems to be at least, I'm not going to say performing, but playing, and that helps.
Whatever. I watched him jog home on a play and just get absolutely destroyed. And I just refuse to put any stock in like Stanton out and being capable players. You can't rely on that week over week. There's no way.
All right.
No.
Fair enough. Well, in the event that you do face off against Chris, though, I'm curious to see if Freddie Freeman will put up the kinds of numbers that he's been putting up of late, because that is a scary thing to be staring down the other side.
Honestly, Freddie Freeman is like the perfect comp, I feel like, for Chris as a baseball player. He's fucking weird. He like is really good at what he does, but like he got struck out by Anthony Rizzo, so like I don't know. You know, like pretty much encapsulates Chris's team. Dog shit, does like incredibly dog shit things, but sometimes can be pretty elite.
Okay. All right. I'm not quite sure how I'm going to segue dog shit, but can be pretty elite. As I bring up the other fairly big upset that we had. I mean, nothing's going to touch what the Raccoons upset looked like just on points, but we had another bubble team, the eighth place Stubby Clap Clappers, Garth McInnes's team, take a loss this week and fall to that 10-6 record. And they lost to the now 6-10 Nick the Man Penner with a 210.0 to a 159.2 by Garth McInnes. Now, this moves Nick out of the Vase. Nick is now he's now the eighth seed in Europa, which is interesting. And Garth McInnes is now the eighth seed in the playoffs as well. Which eighth seed do you expect to fall to the lower levels?
Nick was my Vase pick until I realized he was out of the Vase. So okay. That's unfortunate. man, how hilarious would it be for the Clappers to be 10-8. How hilarious. I would die. I'd be like, everything's good in the world, man. Everything's good. Yeah, I think the Clappers are falling out. Oh, I'm not going to lie to you. I look at kind of what's going on around them. So ninth place, we have Chow, right? Yeah, I mean, I like Chow. I don't like the McClanahan thing, but I still like Chow. I'm trying to find who's 10th here.
10th right now with Chris. Yeah.
Okay. No, never mind. Never mind. Yeah, I think Nick could keep this rolling, though. Like, that's the thing. Like, Nick's in a more precarious position in that if he loses another matchup, he's probably in the Vase. But Nick has been better lately, which is shocking to say. The Clappers have been kind of on this descent for a few weeks now. We've been calling it. I think, on our last show. So
yeah,
I'm not 1,000% sure he's going to make the playoffs. And even if he does, he's not getting higher than eighth, I don't think.
I mean, he's 10-6 right now. He is the weakest on based on overall point totals of the bubble teams. And he has by far the hardest schedule, I think, of any team, if I'm going to be fair, as he needs to face RKR.
Yeah, it's an L.
Neeson, and then Aiden in the last week.
Potentially three L's, definitely two L's.
Now, yeah. Three L's would give Garth McInnes a 10-9 record.
Let's go.
Which, that's almost as good as Lim getting his 6-9 record. Like, let's be fair here.
Oh, better. So much better.
But this would be an incredible fall. Because the Clappers were strong, and they've been strong for a while.
Lots of things used to be a certain way and are no longer that way. I used to be young. I'm no longer young.
Now you're a working man. You're in your 30s. When's the white picket fence coming? Jesus, you're a cliche at this point, Jeremiah.
The white cardboard box, you mean? I mean, I'm not surprised by this though. Like, the Clappers have just been so disappointing, and you are so limited when you don't make moves with other teams and you barely make waiver wire moves. Like, you are just locked into the variance that is your team. And when your team on paper, no disrespect, is not that good to begin with, this is the result. Like, if you look at his result on paper, it's probably a 500 team. It's been a 500 team for fucking years. Why would it just change randomly? I guess variance in fantasy is the answer, but guess what? Everything water normalizes over time. This is what it's doing.
Yeah. I'm generally okay with the idea that he just avoids trades. I know it's weird, and it's kind of anathema to you. I get it. Yeah. But what it does is it really protects your draft capital. And we've seen some value come up through his specific ranks, right? So he gets a little bit of augment from the waiver wire, and then it's all about who he drafted in the minor leagues. But that only works if you actually call them up.
I was just going to say, that's a really interesting point you're making, that Jordan Walker sits on the fucking waiver wire all year. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And Nate Pearson, I believe, is still down in his minors as well, right? Like,
Luis Medina is another one.
There are usable people in the minor leagues that if you're not going to trade, and again, it's weird, but if you know you're not going to trade, then the reason to leave them down is non-existent. It goes out the window, right? Because you're no longer treating them as trade capital. They are only ever valuable for your team. And it falls down if you never use them like that.
My grandfather and my dad are famous for getting new things as gifts and never opening them. They will sit in the closet in the wrapping.
Okay.
And I've picked up this trade a little bit myself sometimes. And my fiance will be like, what the fuck are you doing? And I'm like, I don't want to open this. It's too nice. And she's like, well, you can do that, or you can die looking at it in the box and someone will find it when they go through your shit. And be like, oh, cool, a brand new Jays jersey. I'm going to take that. Or you can get use out of it. I mean, that's basically what we're doing here, right? Is we're just staring at the wrap stuff, right? Like, you know?
Yeah, all right. Well, let's keep going here as we hit our anti-penultimate matchup, that being the third last. You're a lawyer now. You got to get up with the big words here.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Okay. But our anti-penultimate is actually our ninth place team. Chow's Size Matters pulls out a win this week with a 172.1 over our DFL Ash the Moneyballers, 132.9. Now, this is obviously a pretty weak showing points-wise by Chow, but this win is what's the most important because this keeps him just on the outside. I believe when I was looking at it, he's got a 32% playoff chance. So there's a chance.
Man, the win is what matters.
Yep.
You're right. Man, how he is getting there, though, is not inspiring. Excuse me. I mean, Shane McClanahan out for the year, like we've discussed. Aaron Judge, not even in his top performers this week, so he put up less than 14 points. That's going to be a problem because, like we've discussed over and over again, if those guys are not carrying his team, he is going dead fucking nowhere. And that's going to be an issue. I mean, to me, Yeah, he could pass the Clappers. Absolutely. He wins another matchup, the Clappers lose one, they're tied, and who knows from there on out. I think his schedule's easier, but like, it doesn't even matter if he's not going to crest 200 points every week.
Yeah. Yes, Chow's schedule is definitely easier than the Clappers, who we just reviewed as being perhaps the hardest schedule of any team to round out this season. Chow's actually looking at me this week, and then he goes into the Star Boys and finishes it up against Chris.
Well, the Star Boys, as we're going to get to, put up a huge point total this week, and you're no
Yeah.
slouch, obviously. So those are two very tough matchups. Chris, again, a coin flip because Chow's not putting up the numbers. So again, like, none of those are gimmies. It could go 0-3. He could go 3-0 or anywhere in between, and it's really hard to peg that consistently. But the only thing working in his favor is that the Clappers, I think, are guaranteed to go at least 1-2, maybe worse. So he's just got to win some matchups. If I'm him, I'm selling the fuck out to win these matchups. What do I lose? But again, it depends on his direction. If he really wants to win Europa, well, maybe back off the pedal here and don't make too many additions, because he could be a very strong Europa team. Number one seed,
Yeah.
decent points by Europa standards. You never know.
Yeah, he could be looking at the difference between a round one matchup against Nick in Europa or against
Yeah.
Ryan in the
Well, he'd lose both of those if these point totals were put into place. So you can always look at it that way.
Okay, there it is. There it is. Anything we want to say about Ash and the current standalone three-win team? He's not only DFL, he's not even tied with anybody for it. He's just there. It's just him.
Serves him right. No, I have nothing to say about this man. Nothing.
All right. Well, then let's not waste any more time. We can advance to our penultimate matchup. That means second last, my lawyer friend. And this one, we've got the aforementioned Star Boys. Ben's team putting up a pretty big 264.6, taking out Lim's 211.8. This is now your 14th and your 15th place teams overall, both sitting 6 and 10 and fairly firmly in the bottom half of Europa, coming in. Which one do you want to talk about? I think there's interesting elements on both sides of this.
Ben had his best week, but I just don't know how much stock to put into it. I
Okay.
don't know how often I'm going to rely on Jamer Candelario to put up 35 points and Jake Cronenworth to put up 25. Kyle Tucker, I admit, can put up these points. I don't know how sustainable that is. I really don't. On the other side of the Lim equation, I mean, Lane Thomas has been great all year. Lim has just been good. He's been consistently 200-ish, and that's great. It's hard to really have passionate feelings about either of these teams when they're just all over the place and in the bottom half of Europa. Now, if one of them were lucky enough to, say, draw Chris, could be a
Yeah.
winnable matchup, right? Even Chow, like, if I'm Ben and I'm sitting there against Chow in round one, I'm not sitting there going, fuck. I'm thinking I could win this. You know, good week by my team. I can win the matchup. So there's definitely hope for these guys. It's just hard to put a predictor on it.
Okay. That's fair. For me, I think I'm most interested in Lim, specifically because Lim is in it's almost like he knows he's a bubble team in the NCAA like Madness tournament, and he's currently just staring down his conference championship at the end of his season, and all of the people in front of him are already in. And he knows he's got to win to sort of keep pace and maybe make that draw, because his last four matchups, so including this past week against the 6 and 10 Star Boys, he goes up against the 7 and 9 Chris Mummy's Good Boy. He then faces you at currently 6 and 10, and then he finishes it off against Graham at 7, 9, and 0. He is absolutely facing two or more of these exact teams in Europa in a couple of weeks.
What this is telling me is, like, man, I could fall into the vase. Hey, that would be hilarious. But no, I mean, for sure. Like, he would definitely be facing one of those teams in the first round, and if he won, probably in the second round too. So it's a good warm up for him
Yeah.
to say, how do I a good measuring stick. Where do I match up here?
Yeah.
The part of this, the thing with this part of the season is you can't do anything if you're like, I'm inadequate. Like, what are you gonna do? You know, swap out your pen, I guess. About all you can do. So, but it'll be good for him. It'll be a good like knowledge building thing for him. He can be like, I think he's gonna match up fine. I think he's gonna be fine.
Yeah. It'll be fun to watch. There, he's like I said, four consecutive show me matchups. He stumbled on the first one, but he's got another three to sort of make it fit, make it work. All right. We got one more matchup we're going to cover here. It's the number 17 Stads and the Stadelmon Stars, who put up a 250.2 and in doing so beat the number 19 Husan Rogers Alliance. Jamil's team getting a 230.8. Basically, Stads are falling into the vase. Jamil is solidly in the vase. What do you want to say about this?
I want to know what the Husan Rogers Alliance means and why they're using the Rogers symbol. Because as a newly minted legal professional, there could be some copyright problems with that.
Possibly with the Rogers family, so you can get in on that as well.
Yeah, I mean, looking at how they fight each other, they'll fight each other. So they'll definitely fight Jamil in court. But yeah, I mean, Stats could still sneak into Europa, like that's the thing, right? Like, he is one win out of it, and I'm still not convinced him and Lin won't swap places, for example. Okay. I'm just not sold on that. Fuck, he could swap places with me if I don't win some matchups pretty damn soon. So it's just the way it is. If I put in the basement, I'd be so sad. I'd be so fucking sad. I want a vase with Flex's face on it. I do.
Yes.
I really do. But yeah, but I'd be sad. Yeah,
that'd be a pretty big fall for you to drop all the way down to 17th or lower from where you are currently. So I think you're okay. I think just on point totals, you've got the tiebreaker on anyone below you. So
yeah, but, you should be fine. Like, it's one win though. Like, if I lose two matchups and Ian wins two, like we're swapping. You know, like, what am I gonna do? I don't know. I don't have time to think about this shit. So I don't know.
There it is.
Yeah.
There it is. All right. Well, fair enough. Well, I know you don't have time to think about this shit, which also means that you probably haven't had time to think about our picks shit. So I'm going to go ahead and give you the update. This past week, we managed to actually get our picks in ahead of time, even though we had the technical problems and we didn't do the review live on air this past week. I can tell you we both went 8-2 in our picks. So... we only had two differences and we split those, is how that worked out. So specifically, we both missed, Garth McInnes falling to Nick. I'm going to go ahead and say that's an acceptable miss on our part. I had called the Tillo victory over Flex. You called the Ben victory over Lim. So we both pull away with an 8-point, showing, putting you at a 106-100 overall right now. So you're still 6 points up, 3 weeks to go.
It's tight, though. It's tight.
It's very tight. Kind of like my windpipes as I try to do the vocality necessary for, the upcoming rap that I'm going to have to do.
Picking these live on air, though, will be really interesting, although... I need to charge these bad boys. But yeah, it's going to be really interesting to pick these live on air because I'm going to try to diverge from you as much as I possibly can, which I think is going to be really fun.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, I've already put my picks, at the very least, in the spreadsheet. So I've already written my picks down. Okay. So I will review my picks with you as we go through this live. But I pleasantly await your picks on this. And so we're going to go ahead and we're going to start at the top, because at the top of this week's scoreboard on my page is me. And it's a fairly interesting matchup. We've talked about it a little bit already, but it is me facing off against Chow. I am picking myself this week. Who you got?
Okay, so I have not read any of your picks, so this is fun. I'm going to still pick you. I don't want to. I want to diverge, but I'm going to pick you. Chow has not been impressive lately, so it's hard for me to get on board with that.
Okay. That's fair. Fairly straightforward. And right now I've got a fairly big lead on Chow. And can I just go ahead and petition to have Kyle Schwarber face the Nationals every day? Do you think that's possible?
I think you should petition to have Kyle the Phillies should petition to have Kyle Schwarber banned from the outfield because his defense is fucking terrible. He's the worst defensive outfielder. And I actually read something, a stat the other day that said he actually hits the exact same when playing left field and DH. Like his stats. It's not like he becomes a better hitter by only DHing, so maybe that's why they're like, fuck it. But hey, take him out of the outfield and maybe, just maybe, that extra rest and focus on hitting might improve his stats a little bit.
Maybe.
Just a thought.
Could be interesting. All right, let's go ahead and advance to the next one, which on my page has Nick the Man Penner facing off against the Squirtle Squad. My selection is the Squad.
Your selection is the Squad. Well, I really don't want to take Nick. This is not going to diverge as I would have liked. I'll take the Squad with you. I don't want to. I need to diverge here. What am I doing with my life? Okay, Squad, fine. Yes.
All right. I mean, I'll just tell you right now, I literally chose chalk. I don't think I have even one underdog victory in my roster this week. So don't be so surprised when you're like, oh, he's picking the favorite again. I do. I have picked the favorite.
Okay.
And the next favorite that I'm choosing is RKR facing off against Garth MacInnis.
Yeah. Man. It doesn't help that he's just absolutely laying pipe to him. Like, oh, man. Laying pipe. Ah, shit. I'm going to take the clappers. Fuck it. I'm going to take clappers.
Give me a clap. Interesting. All right.
Yeah. I said I diverge. I'm a man of my word. Let's go.
Okay. Yeah. That's unexpected. I'll put it up. Because the one I thought you'd diverge on, based on most recent performance, is this next one, which is the Houston Rogers Alliance facing off against our fourth place team, the Midland Raccoons, who we have talked about tonight as having one hell of a bad run. I have taken the Raccoons.
I will take Jamil. Yep, I'll take Jamil.
All right. Moving on, first overall, the Mad King facing off against Graham's 11th place big beefy baseball boys. Who you got?
I think we'll both be on the Mad King with this one. I can't get behind Graham.
Indeed. All right. The next up is our third place team. We got the fourth quarter Jimmy Butlers facing off against the top of the Vase right now with the Stadelmon Stars. You on Tillo or Stads today?
I'm on Stads today.
All right. I have taken Tillo. All right. Now we are on your matchup. So we've got director of the FFFBPA facing off against you, yourself. I'm on Aiden this week.
I will take myself.
Okay. Type that in.
Got to make this interesting, right? If I go real bad this week, we can have a showdown for the last 2 weeks. Yeah.
Which could be fun. All right. Well, next matchup, we've got Ash's DFL Moneyballers facing off against the 12th place Flex. I have the Club Atletico this week.
I will take Ash.
That might be one of the very few times that Ash has been taken this year. To put that in perspective.
Yeah.
You've already got a number of Hallmark picks that you can call up whenever you need to brag, but this would be another one, I think. All right. Two more to go, my friend. We can get through this. We've got Mummy's Good Boys facing off against Penis, which, let's be honest, writes itself.
Yes. You must have, although they're close, you must have Chris. I will take Lynn.
I do have Chris. All right. And our last one is Ben and the Star Boys facing off against Kaminsky's The Illuminati. I have the Star Boys.
Fuck. Give me Mike. Let's go. Mike.
All right. Oh, well, shit. You have certainly picked a number of underdogs.
Let's go.
I hope all of our loyal listeners realize that I don't actually have a weapon of any sort aimed at Jeremiah at any point during this rendition of our picks matchup. But yeah, it'll be interesting. There's definitely some that the favorites are currently losing, but the inverse is also very true. But we'll see. It should be good.
We'll see. Yeah, got to have the entertainment value for the fans.
That's why we're here. Awesome. Well, Jeremiah, that was all that I had written up for the show today. Is there any other kernels of wisdom that you would like to pass along to our listenership?
No, sir. If I am on the show next week, I've survived. If I haven't, find someone else.
All right. Well, I mean, I hope you survive, because I tried to make this run without you last week and it didn't go at all. It's very interesting, the dynamic that we have here, where I literally need you to set up the podcast so that I can talk, because my phone will not do it. It's hilarious.
My iPhone XR just has this app ready to go.
There it is. There it is. All right. Well, thanks once again for sitting down with me on this Tuesday night. Pleasure as always, my friend.
Absolutely, sir. Take care.
All right. Well, with that, I hope everyone out there has a good night and good fantasy.